being here. How many years have you been here coming? I think 14. Is that what we figured? 14 or 15 years. 16. Why? It keeps flying by. And so we love the Bennetts. Appreciate them coming and preaching. I think we got all our ducks in the world.
Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah? All right. Let's turn. Is he setting the bomb now? Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Hosea. Now, if you can find the big book of Ezekiel, then Daniel, then Hosea is after Daniel. Hosea chapter 11. And once you get there, if you will, stand with me. Now, that's the work of an evangelist to make you uncomfortable. I've been teaching you that. And we've been going through that many years now, right?
Amen.
Hosea chapter 11. Once you get there, please stand with me and we'll read the scriptures. Here in verse 7, we'll just read one verse. And my people are bent to backsliding from me. Though they called them to the Most High, none at all would exalt Him. Mm-hmm. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do love You. We thank You for this time that we can gather in Your house again. Thank You for those that have come out tonight. Lord, what a blessing it is to see folks come out on a Thursday night to hear the preaching of God's Word. Lord, I pray that as Your Word goes forth, it'll penetrate hearts and do exactly what You want it to do. I pray, dear God, You'd use this old preacher one more time, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And my people are bent to backsliding. Now, although there's, you know, we're sitting here tonight, and somebody reads a scripture like that, and we probably think we're okay. I'm not backsliding, preacher. As we read this verse, it seems to be a natural thing for God's people to backslide. It's a natural thing. If all of us were honest, now I'm not suggesting you're not honest, okay? So don't. But if all of us were honest, we would confess that we have backslidden. If you're like me, and I know you're more pious than I am, but it could be a daily thing. Yeah, and the things that we get involved in, and I've mentioned this before this week, but the things we think, our thought process is probably the worst thing about us. It's our mind. The things we think, the things we say. Have you ever said something that said, "Boy, I can't believe I said that"? Comes out very quickly. And in the ministry, I worked a secular job. And you get around in a secular job, you hear all kinds of things. The dirty jokes. You hear the cussing. And, it becomes, almost like an everyday thing that you hear all these things. And before you know it, it's part of your life. You got to be very careful about those things. And you can't shut all that out. I mean, you can try to plug your ears, but it's not going to... You're going to hear some of this. So if we're honest, we probably, on a daily basis, need to get right with God. The Apostle Paul said, "I die daily." I mean, he didn't say, every month I got to do this. No, it's a daily thing. Now, I want you to notice it says, "And my people are bent to backsliding." The word "bent" means habitual. It's a habit. And, we can get into a habit of backsliding. And it's a bad thing that we as Christians... And I know some of you are sitting there saying, "Well, I don't need this preacher." But this guy over here... That person back there... And we're shoveling it off on somebody else. But the Bible says, "Take heed lest ye fall. Robert Robinson's hymn, Come Thou Fount, we find that he becomes very honest in the third verse. And it goes like this: Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. That wandering heart. You know, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. You know what that is? That's backsliding. The word prone means it's a natural inclination to do something like that. And by the way, we are prone to do that because we are still sinners. We still have sin in our life. And I remember some years ago I taught in a Christian school. It was part of my days in purgatory. I taught in a Christian school, and one of the parents was of another denomination, and he felt like he had reached sinless perfection. And I had a talk with him one time, and I said, don't you ever get angry? Oh, yes. I said, don't you think that's sin to get angry? Oh, no. You know, the Bible says get angry and sin not. So there's righteous indignation. And I must have looked funny at him or something like that. And he says, you don't believe that? He's getting upset with me because I doubted his doctrine of sinless perfection. I said, no, I really don't believe that. I said, you know what? I shaved this morning. I nicked myself. And I felt like saying words that I shouldn't say. So I got to tell you something. You do the same thing every day. You nick yourself. You have left sin for sinless perfection. You can't reach that. Why? Because we're human beings. We have a natural old man in us. And we're sinners that are bent to backsliding. Okay, I want to show you some things, and I'll go quick. We'll be out of here before you know it. But think about, I've got four things written down. So you follow along, get your fingers ready to go through the scriptures, and we'll go quickly. Number one, backsliding is turning back. It's turning back. A backslider, and matter of fact, the word backslider means to be an apostate or to fall back, or turning away from the truth. And that's what we do when we've turned our back on God and backslid. It's falling away backward. Look, if you will, chapter 4 here in verse 16 of Hosea. Chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. That heifer is, of course, a cow. And I don't know if you've ever, however many of you grew up on a farm, but I grew up on a farm. And I want to tell you something, nothing more obstinate than a cow that's sliding backwards down into the creek and trying to get it out of that situation. They will fight you every inch of the way trying to get them out of that situation. And that's what happens with a backsliding Christian. They fight you. You go and try to talk to them about their backslidden condition, and they will fight you. You're trying to drag them out of that, and they will fight you over that. You're telling me I'm sinning? You're telling me I'm not right with God? Who are you to say something like that? And who put you? Who gave you that authority to point a finger at me? And so here we are with the backsliding heifer, gone backward down into the creek, and I got to tell you something that's very difficult to get them out of that situation. Look, if you will, over here in the book of Psalms, and go to Psalm 78. The book of Psalms and Psalm 78, and notice what it says down here. In we'll start reading in verse 56, and we'll read a few verses. But Psalm 78, and down here in verse 56, it says, yet they tempted, this is the nation of Israel and how they were treating God, yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God and kept not His testimonies, but turned back, turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow. For they provoked him to anger with their high places and moved him to jealousy with their graven images. When God heard this, he was wroth and greatly abhorred Israel. They turned back. Think about this now. What does God want us to do? Well, he doesn't want us to turn back. Now, do you realize that Christianity is a progress? It's progression. It's going forward. He never wants us to turn back. He doesn't want us to go back to what we were. If you follow in the Word of God concerning the nation of Israel, when they were delivered from Egypt, they got onto they were in the wilderness, and what was it? They were always complaining. I mean, they could complain about anything, and certainly they were complaining about this and about that. And why couldn't we just go back? I want the leeks and the garlic back there in Egypt. I want to give up what you've given us out here, this awful manna. Yeah, I want to go back. And you know, you find somebody that's wanting to go back to the way it was. Do you remember the pit that he took you out of? You want to go back to that? Do you remember Egypt? You were a slave in Egypt. You were in bondage there. But yet you want to go back because of the leeks? You want to go back because of the garlic? You want to be a slave again? You were delivered. You're free. But yet they wanted to go back. It's backsliding. But yet as Christians, we ought not to be looking back. You know, I love testimony time, but sometimes some people, all they do is talk about what happened when they were lost. Forget it. That's a bridge you burn. You don't go back to it. You don't need to get up and testify every time. This is the way it was when I was lost in sin. I was a womanizer. I was an alcoholic. I was this and I was that. Boy, I'll tell you what. Boy, I had fun doing it. But oh, I was... Then I got saved. And why do we have to go over that? Why do we have to dig it up again? Let's burn the bridge and go on from that point. And let's talk about what God has done for me since then. Let's talk about what God has done for me right now. Let's talk about now. Now is the accepted time, the Bible says. We can't go back to yesterday, and we certainly can't jump to tomorrow. We've got right now. This is the only time we've got, so let's praise the Lord right now. Just praise God. And you know what? Christianity is a progression. It's moving forward. Look, if you will. I know you know these verses, but that's all right. You need to look at them anyhow. Look in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." You know, I don't have a... There's some people might argue about the great cloud of witnesses. I think the cloud of witnesses, very obviously, are the ones listed here in chapter 11.
Yeah.
They're the ones that are cheering us on. And they're the ones that are wanting us to succeed in our Christian lives, okay? So the great cloud of witnesses, we're in this arena. You can imagine that. And the picture is so plain that they're there cheering us on. Now, think about this. Let us lay aside every weight. You don't run a race with a weight. And the sin which does so easily beset us. And we need to get the sin out of our life. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Listen, a race, you're going forward. You want progression. You want to keep going forward. You don't want the weight to slow you down. You don't want the sin to get you off out of your, you know, whatever it is. You want to keep going. and it's a progression, and you're looking for the mark. I press toward the mark, the Apostle Paul said. He didn't say, I go back three steps and one step or whatever. I press toward the mark. And that's the way we should be. It's a progression. Now, when we start going backwards at the starting point, there's a problem with our Christianity. And when we start going backwards and we don't understand and we don't realize that we're going backwards, there's a really big problem in our Christianity. When we start backsliding, listen, we need to get right with God and get back on the track and get pressing toward the mark and get back in the race. Get the things out of our life that are keeping us from running the race like we should. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9 and I think it's verse 62, that once we put our shoulder to the plow, we don't look backward. We're not worthy of His name. We're not worthy to be called a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ if we're looking back. We keep plowing. We keep going forward. I remember when I was a kid, and I know I've told you this, but, you know, act like I didn't. When I was a kid, my grandpa put me on the tractor and said, I need you to go plow that field out there. And he says, now, all you do, you put the plow on the ground and just look at the post across there and you keep your eye on the post. Don't look back. When you plow, you don't look back. Folks, I want you to understand something. Here's what happens. You can tell if somebody looked back. The furrow goes like this. But the guy that has the straight furrow is the one that kept his eye on that post across the way. And listen, that's what God wants. He wants us to keep our eye on the prize. He wants us to keep our eye on the end. And don't look back. It's a progression. Backsliding is turning back to be an apostate. Number two. Backsliders are filled with themselves. Look, if you will, in Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. And chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. And notice what it says down here in the 14th verse. Proverbs 14, verse 14. Says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. You see, he's filled with himself. I remember some years ago I was asked to preach, and preacher, I went to the church, and the preacher was waiting for me, and it was early. It wasn't time to actually be there. I like to be early. If I'm not early, I'm late. That's the way I always felt it, anyhow. And my wife's tried to change me through the last 50 years on that. She doesn't like the early thing. Amen. But I was there, and the preacher was there. And we shook hands, and he greeted me, all that. And then he asked me a question. He says, what did you get from your Bible reading this morning? I have never in my life been so glad that I read my Bible before I went to see him that morning. I mean to tell you. And I had just happened to read Proverbs 14:14 that morning. And I said, you know, a backslider is filled with himself. But a person that's right with God, it says here that he's satisfied from himself. In other words, he's not concerned about himself. And he looked at me and says, wow, that's good stuff. That's preaching material. I said, well, you can take it and run with it. I'll take it too. But the fact of the matter is that a backslider, that's what he is. He's filled with himself. He's more concerned about himself than he is anybody else. He wants to do it his way. He wants to have his way. He wants to get everything he wants. He wants to be the one that has the most toys. He's the one that wants to go hunting on Sunday morning. He's the one that wants to go fishing on Sunday morning rather than go to church. He's the one that's always making an excuse getting out of what God wants him to do. Folks, I want you to understand something. He's filled with himself. And there's too many Christians that are filled with themselves. That's all they think about. And you know they're filled with themselves. They come to church and says, what can this church do for me? You know, I've been at this business for a long time, and I haven't heard too many people come to church and say, what can I do? I'm looking to serve God. Folks, I've had people leave the church because we didn't have the right kind of nursery. I've had people leave the church because there wasn't a youth department. Somebody came to church one time and says, what do you got for youth? I said, preaching. And that's what we had for the youth. We didn't have anything special for them. Oh, preacher, you're just not reaching out to the young people. Yes, I am. I think young people ought to be under the sound of the preaching of God's Word. They ought to learn how to sit in a service. And you know what? You have kids down in junior church. They never learn how to act in church. They never learn how to sit under the sound of the preaching of God's Word. And now I understand junior church is a great... Please don't misunderstand me. But the fact of the matter is... And they could be saved that way. I'm not saying they can't. But I think it's so vitally important for them to hear the preacher. The man of God. And get under the sound of the preaching of God's Word. Listen, what happens is when we go to church and they keep giving us everything, we get a self-centered mindset. I mean, after all, if it doesn't have pizza, I'm not going to go. Yeah, I mean, if they're not going to serve me ice cream, I'm not going to go. If they're not going to give me the biggest hamburger in the world, I'm not going to go. Listen, we've got people bus these kids, and they offer them McDonald's hamburgers. They offer them everything to go to church. Somebody say, you don't believe in that? No, I don't. You know what's happening? They're getting this mentality that everything should be for them. They're not raised with a servant's mentality anymore. And they're filled with selfish desires. And if this church can't give me something, then I don't want this church. Isn't that right? I want to show you something. Look, if you will, over in the book of Mark. Now, hold your finger. If you haven't already left, hold your finger there in Proverbs. I want you to compare this verse we just read here, Proverbs chapter 14, with the verses that we're going to read over here in Mark chapter 8. Think about this with me for just a second. I'm not trying to be mean. It may come across that way. I'm not trying to be, all right? But I want you to think about this. Down here in Mark chapter 8, verses 34 and 35, it says, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's sake shall save it. Now, if you're denying yourself, which one of these men back here in Proverbs 14:14 is that? It's the guy that's satisfied from himself. It's not the guy that's filled with his own ways. The problem is with backsliding is that we're filled with ourselves. The Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse 8, draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God. That's a command, by the way. Draw nigh to God. In James chapter 4, verse 8. A backslider is so full of himself that he cannot, and by the way, he will not, draw nigh to God. By the way, do you realize that most backsliders, not all of them, but most backsliders don't know they're backslidden? They're just so filled with themselves that they think they're having a good time. Until God starts judging it. Now, number three. Backsliders can be restored. Look, if you will, and I know you know this verse, but that, I don't care when you go there anyhow. 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. We use this for revival, but backsliders can be restored. How? Well, it's quite simple. The outline that's set forth for us here in verse 14 of 2 Chronicles chapter 7. If my people... Now, by the way, I believe that this verse is talking to a backslidden people. If my people would do this, then they'll be restored. And it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. In other words, fall to their knees and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's not until they humble themselves. So a backslider can be restored, but he's going to have to come to the realization, I'm backslidden. I'm not right with God. I've got to get out of this situation. I've got to turn around. I'm going the wrong direction. Listen, I don't want to go back to Egypt. I don't want to go back to the way it was before I was saved. I don't want that situation. I don't want to live in sin anymore. I want to get right with God. If my people, which are called by my name, in other words, those that are truly born into the family of God, those who know Jesus Christ as their Savior, called by my name, those that are Christian, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves, fall on their face before God, pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll forgive their sin. Boy, I'll tell you what, you can be restored. Then, number four, backsliders have a prayer they should pray. By the way, I'm glad you talked about that, because I've got the prayer you can pray if you're backslidden tonight. Look, if you will, in the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, and go to Psalm 80. Psalm 80. I'll get there soon. Look down here, if you will, in Psalm 80, in verse 3. It says, turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Turn us. You know, the great revival that started in the British Isles. They used to pray, bend us. You know what they were talking about? Prayer. Bend us. Get us on our knees. You know something? Some of the great revivals, if you ever read about Charles Finney, one of the great revivalists that traveled through New York. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, the church I pastored up in Black River, New York, was started as a result of a Finney revival. And so it's the history is rich throughout that area, down into Rome and even down in this area. But the fact of the matter is that some of the great parts of those revivals, Finney really didn't have anything to do with. There was a revival in a community that was started basically by one woman. I mean to tell you, the church was dead. The pastor was an unbeliever. It was one of those Presbyterian type churches that, you know, Calvinism had taken over and the whole community was dead. And this woman, she got on her knees and she started praying. She said, Lord, we need a revival. I pray Charles Finney would come to this community and preach. Well, she prayed all night long. And the next day she says, I'm going to go see Charles Finney and see if he'll come. I know he'll come because I prayed about it. So she got her horse and buggy out and rode over to wherever Charles Finney was. And she got an opportunity to talk to him. And she says, you've got to come to our community and preach. And he says, I can't get away. It's impossible for me to get away right now. I can't get over there. She says, listen, we need you. He said, I'm sorry, I can't get away. So she rode back home. And she got up into her bedroom and got on her knees and prayed all night long. Next day, she got her horse and buggy out and she rode over to see Charles Finney. And he said to her, "Ma'am, I cannot leave. I can't get over there." So she got her, rode all the way back home, went up into her bedroom, got down on her knees and prayed all night long. Next day, she got the horse and buggy out. She rode over to see Charles Finney, and he was amazed that she came the third time. He says, "I'll tell you what, if you can find a place for me to preach, and you tell me what time to be there, I'll be there to preach." And she says, "You come," and she gave him two or three days to be prepared for it, "and I'll have a place for you to preach, and you just be there. Everything will be prepared." She didn't know how she was going to do it, but she went back, and she went talking to folks all over town. Nobody would help her. Nobody helped her. So she bowed her head and prayed and asked God to give her a place so the preacher could come and preach. Well, the school auditorium was made available to her, and she was praising the Lord for that, and she says, "Now I got to go invite everybody to come." Nobody wanted to come. So she just kept inviting. She went knocking on doors, inviting people to come to the revival. "Come to the revival. Charles Finney's coming. Boy, I want to tell you something. You don't want to miss Charles Finney." And she knocked on every door. Nobody said they'd be there. So she didn't know how this was going to turn out, but she prayed. She prayed. And she prayed. And she prayed. The time came. Charles Finney came. He went into the school auditorium and walked up there on the stage, and the place was filled with people. And he started preaching, and the Holy Spirit of God showed up in a mighty way because one woman prayed. One woman saw the need. One woman wouldn't give up. The first person to walk the aisle and get saved was the preacher of the church. And when the preacher got saved, the rest of the town followed. Folks, I want you to understand something. When it comes to revival, it just takes one person. You have to see the need. All you have to do is see the need of backslidden Christians that aren't worth the powder and lead to blow them up because they're backslidden in sin. And they're not doing a thing for God. They're giving Jesus a black eye by the way they live. They need to get right with. Turn me, O God. Turn me. I want to be right with God. Pray for those backslidden Christians. Listen, many times you go and talk to them, they don't want to listen. They don't want you sticking your nose where it doesn't belong. Who gave you the authority that I'm a sinner? Tell me I'm a sinner. Pray for those backslidden Christians. Then pray for the lost that's all around us. And pray that God would give us a man like Charles Finney that'll come and preach with boldness. And the Holy Spirit of God will show up in a mighty way. Then we'll see revival. Let me ask you to do this tonight. Be honest with God. I'm not talking about being honest with me. Be honest with God. There's something in your life. I want to tell you something. You need to get it to the altar. And you need to lay it on the altar and walk away from it. Give it to God, casting all your care upon Him. Yeah. Somebody sit back and say, "Well, you know, I'm not backslidden. Take heed lest ye fall." Let's stand very quietly, every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, we do love You. We thank You for all that You've done for us. I pray You'll do a work right now in our midst. There's some that need to be at the altar. There's some that need to pray for the lost people. And those that need to pray for getting right with God and doing the things that God wants them to do. Please, dear God, do a work right now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn your hymnals to page 26. 26. Come Thou Fount. This is just the first part. I've got another song to sing too, but Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come. And I know by thy good pleasure, safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it.
Over to page 57.
Sometimes these songs are better preachers than the preacher. Cleanse me.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. I praise thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill thy word and make me pure within. Fill me with fire where once I burned with shame. Grant my desire to magnify thy name. Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill my poor heart with thy great love divine. My passion, self, and pride I now surrender, Lord, in me abide. O Holy Ghost, revival comes from thee. Send a revival, start the work in me. Thy word declares thou wilt supply our need. For blessings now, O Lord, I humbly plead.
Preacher. appreciate the message, appreciate the songs there. That will touch your heart. There's where revival comes from. All right. All hearts and minds clear?
Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord. It's good to have Brother LeGrecki here. I'm going to ask you if you'd dismiss in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the message tonight.
Thank you.
We thank you for the preacher, Lord, that delivered it, Lord, to stir our hearts, to move toward the fires of revival within ourselves. Father, help us, I pray thee. Help us to be a praying people.
Yeah.
Help us to be that man or woman, child, just to lay it all before you in prayer, seeking your face and seeking your wisdom in our life. Father, be with us as we pray, Lord, that you might start that revival within us. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this church here in Dresden. We thank you, Lord, for his preaching. We thank you for his faithfulness, Lord. And we ask that you bless him richly and abundantly, his wife, Lord, as well. Father, give them, Lord, the desires of their hearts, Lord, that they may continue the work in your grace. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for all you've done in our lives. Give us a safety we need as we travel the highways home. Give us a good week, a blessed week, a trouble-free week. For we ask this all in the precious name of our Redeemer and our Savior, our Lord and King, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, grab a piece of anniversary cake before you leave.